and welcome to Saturate with your host, gospel singer, and Bible teacher, Chris Norman. Saturate is a program where we study to show ourselves approved, not ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. So grab your Bible and study along with us as we dig deeper in order to expose a lot of erroneous preconceived ideas about God's word. As we prepare to study, let's pray. Father, thank you for making your word available to us, and thanks for the Holy Spirit's anointing to discern what we read today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, here's your host, Chris Norman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Saturate today. I hope you got your Bible. If you do, let's open it up today. We got a few scriptures. Let's start in Acts chapter 10, and you hold your place in Acts chapter 10 and turn over to Mark chapter 5. In Acts chapter 10, if you scoot on down to verse 37, you yourselves know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee with the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how Jesus went about doing good and healing all, everybody say all, who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Now, folks, that's the gospel message. That's the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You know what gospel means? It simply means good news. And here's the way it worked back in those days. The gospel in the old days was something that people went around talking about, political people, when people were running for office or they were going to be considered as governor or whatever. They had people that went around and told word of mouth the good news about a person. They'd tell about their lineage. They'd tell what good blood they came from, what a good background they have, what good character they have, you know, what an upstanding person they were of society. So there were plenty of gospel messages out there about people. But the gospel message of Jesus Christ is what we're talking about. And it's that gospel that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God to save you. Now look on over in Mark. If you start at the very beginning, it's talking about the journey while Jesus was going around doing exactly these things that we just read about in Acts, how he was going around healing everybody. And so here's the story I want to pick up on, and this is what we're going to base today's teaching on, okay? Verse 21 says, and when Jesus began, he crossed the boat to the other side. A large crowd gathered around him beside the sea. A synagogue leader named Jairus arrived, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he pleaded with him urgently, my little daughter is near death. Please come and place your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Now, that's the context, and that's the setting, and here's where I want to pick up, verse 24. So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and passed around him. And a woman was there who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years. She had borne such agony under the care of many physicians and had spent all she had, but to no avail. Instead, her condition got worse. Verse 27 says, when the woman heard about Jesus, now that you need to underline, she came up through the crowd behind him, touched his cloak, for she kept saying, if only I touch the hem of his garments, I will be healed. She kept saying, if I can just touch them clothes, I'm going to touch them clothes. If I can just touch the clothes, the things I've heard about Jesus, all I got to do is touch the hem of that garment, I'm going to be healed. 29 says, immediately her bleeding stopped, and she sensed in her body that she was healed. Hallelujah. That just gets me all excited, folks. It's what she heard. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you a question. What have you been hearing? Let's do this song. It's called The Last Train to Glory. It's my brand new song. I hadn't even released it yet, so don't tell nobody. Hope you like it, folks. Last Train to Glory. Enjoy this right here. Little old SaturateNow.com. If you'll go to that website, you can get information about Crossroads Gospel Singers, where we're going to be. You can even book our group if you'd like. You can also get radio content for this Saturate program. You can even download music as well. The site is under construction, so keep coming back to see what changes have been made. If you desire to make a tax-deductible donation to the ministry, SaturateNow.com is the place to go. Thanks for your generous support of the ministry. God bless you. Okay, so don't forget the question I just asked. What have you been hearing? With that in mind, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's start reading at verse 17. And it's going to be a little reading here, so let me get to it, okay? Starting at verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Let me just throw a little extra in there for you. All those who preach, you ain't going to heaven unless you get baptized. Well, Paul didn't know anything about it. "Not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." Now you pay attention. Verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Now what did he just say? The message of the cross is the power of God. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand a sign, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God stronger than man's strength." Come on, folks. It can't get any plainer than that right there. God's so much wiser than we are. And, you know, don't get stuck up and say, "Yes, you're right, brother. You never know what God's going to do." Well, if you'd read the Bible, you would. "His ways are above our ways." Yes, they are. But it says, "But as the dew comes down from heaven, so my word comes down to you, and it'll accomplish what it's set to accomplish, and it will not return void." That's one of those prayers you don't ever have to pray again. You hear people pray it all the time. "Lord, don't let your word return void." It's not. He said it wasn't. Just trust it. God's wisdom is so much wiser than our wisdom, and it makes what we think wise foolish. So with all that said, let me ask you that question again. What have you been hearing? Let me give you a statistic. I try not to be a statistician. I can't even say it. But there was an old statistic. I do remember reading this as many years ago, that 80% of all the churches in the United States have less than 200 people in the congregation. So that means that 80% of the churches, if that statistic is correct today, 80% of our churches are like little hometown churches. It's not very hard to get to know a couple hundred people in your church, you know, as the pastor of the church. And I like a little hometown church. Let me just go and say I do. I like the home family feeling of a little church. I'm not against big churches. Don't get me wrong, please. But I will say this. I believe there's a little bit of a hindrance in a small church, because the pastor knows everybody, and he knows what's going on. And it doesn't take a fool to see when there's some trouble going on in some families or some sin in the camp. It doesn't take a fool, you know, to see when you know where a problem is and where it's raising its ugly head. And so in our wisdom, now let me just tell you what I believe with all of my heart, according to the scripture we just read. In our wisdom, it seems like the right thing to do would be to address that issue from the pulpit. Because, well, after all, we are the man of God, you know. We are hearing from God for the people, aren't we? Ask yourself that question, you know, make sure. So it seems like it would be my responsibility to bring out this problem and preach on it. Doesn't that seem like that would be the smart thing to do? Nip it in the bud, Andy. It would be funny if it wasn't so true. This is what we have in a lot of churches that go on. And I'm here to tell you that it's not what we're supposed to be preaching. That is not what we're supposed to be preaching. Oh, it seems right to you, but it seems wise to you, but we just read right here that the only power message there is the power of Christ and Him crucified. Why? Because it's only Christ and Him crucified that is going to deal with whatever problem is in your congregation and get it fixed. You can harp on that problem all day long, all you want to, but it will not fix it. Oh, it will fill the altars full of people whining, bawling, and squalling because you're putting out something that's appealing to their flesh. They know they got a problem. Folks, you don't have to tell a fat man he's fat. Fat man knows he's fat. We got conscience, and the devil does a real good job of reminding us of all of our problems, too. So a lot of times when somebody stands in the pulpit and says, I have a word from the Lord, and you start getting on people's sin, you might have a word from the devil. So be careful. Now, I know you're mad at me. It's okay. Read the Bible. The Bible says we preach Christ and Him crucified. If you go over to Galatians, you'll find out if you preach anything else except Christ and Him crucified, you're in danger, my friend, of being accursed. The Bible says you're fallen from grace if you preach any other gospel than the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. Now, don't, you know, somebody gonna say, well, you don't like the Old Testament. You don't preach the Old Testament. Oh, yes, ma'am, I sure do. Because the Old Testament's got Christ all in it. And you can preach a good message out of the Old Testament if you know how to get in there and rightly divide the word of truth. See, that's our job, folks. We're supposed to rightly divide the word of truth. These little short programs just don't give me time enough to harp on this like I want to. Oh, my goodness, folks. Listen to all the teachers and the preachers out there. Let me just encourage you. Don't give up. Keep going. The main thing is just rightly divide the word of truth and find Jesus Christ in everything you preach, because that is the answer. And folks, let me tell you something. It will give you a break. It'll take a load off of your shoulders because you've been being responsible to try to preach what needed to be preached. Folks, it's simple. It's real simple. It's foolishness to men, but it is the wisdom of God to preach Christ and Him crucified. Yeah, but you think they're going to want to hear another message. They don't need to hear another message. That's all they need. Everybody, you got a world full of problems, folks, and we have the answer, and His name is Jesus. God bless you for coming to Saturate today. We want to see you again. So same time, same place tomorrow. Love you now. Bye-bye.